This talk is going to be a little different than the other talks I've given. I have a research appointment at Texas A&M Kingsville, but this is going to seem more like an extension presentation because of the work that we're involved in. I'd like to recognize some of my colleagues, Eddie Esquivel, Ramaku, and Dr. Juan Enciso at the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station in Weslaco, Texas. We're promoting water conservation practices throughout the lower Rio Grande Valley of South Texas. And what we're involved in is an ADI project. Oh, is it this cell phone? Not even on. Okay. We coined this project the ADI project, and it's short for Agricultural Water Conservation Demonstration Initiative. And this initiative was funded by the Texas Water Development Board. It's a long-term study. It's a 10-year survey of on-farm water use in the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And the purpose of it was to evaluate and promote more water-conserving practices for the lower Rio Grande Valley farmers at the farm level. The Texas Water Development Board has this funneling through the Harlingen Irrigation District with subcontracts to Texas A&M Kingsville Citrus Center, of which I have a 25% research appointment, and also collaborating with the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station. Just to give you a little bit of the history for our valley, there are 27 different irrigation districts in the lower Rio Grande Valley along the Rio Grande on the U.S. Side of the border. And many of our collaborating growers are from one end of the valley all the way over to another. And so you can drive a distance of as much as 40 miles from one grower over to another, and then another 50 miles the other direction just to get to your different research sites. So we have an overview of the valley, and we have about 20 growers participating into this study. In the lower Rio Grande Valley, the water is primarily coming from the Rio Grande River. The location of the Rio Grande is too close to the Gulf of Mexico, so you can't use any groundwater in that area. So we pump our water from pumping stations. We lift it from the lower Rio Grande River. We put that into canals. And then from these canals, we deliver that to the grower through the canal. And this is a really good system. It's designed really well for flood irrigation practices. However, if you need your water and you are especially an end user at the end of the canal, it becomes very limited during times of drought or times when you need to conserve water. And it also becomes very difficult if you don't have your own cistern or you don't have your own small reservoir. Where do you store that water to be able to do alternative irrigation practices besides just flood irrigation? So the growers buy their water in advance from the irrigation districts, and typically they'll have to purchase that from the irrigation district 3 or 4 days in advance, because there's really only two reservoirs that are holding the water, and then they have to send it down from those reservoirs through the canal system. Like I mentioned, this system was established for conventional flood irrigation. It's gravity-fed flow. Basically, they raise that water through some cement pipes. They lift that water above, well, a little lower than the height of the canal, and then they can distribute that through orchard valves, or they can send it through polypipe, and we can furrow irrigate our furrow irrigated crops. Or for the citrus industry, the primary irrigation method is flood irrigation. There are also alternative flood irrigation methods that some of the growers use. I work with the citrus industry, and so many of our citrus growers will use an alternative form of flood irrigation called narrow bordered flood irrigation, where basically they put rows between, they put raised beds between the rows of the citrus trees, and then they can facilitate water a little faster down the length of the bed and hopefully conserve water. But they really don't know, are they really conserving water? And for our furrow irrigated crops, we can use poly pipe or gated pipe to deliver that water. Some of the directives of the ADI program is to establish on-farm demonstration sites with our collaborators, as we call, which are our growers, to evaluate their irrigation use efficiency, or in other words, we evaluate the yield versus the quantity of water that's being used to grow their citrus crops, their vegetable crops, or even their field crops. And then we evaluate the effectiveness of our different irrigation methods, whether it be flood, narrow border flood, furrow irrigation, surge irrigation, which isn't practiced a lot, but we're looking into that, and drip and micro jet spray irrigation that you see in the citrus industry. So for many of our demo sites, they're at the on-farm level, from field sites from 40, 80 to 120 acres in size. And we'll deal with different crops such as onions under drip irrigation, deal with citrus under border flood irrigation, drip irrigation, or micro jet spray irrigation. And with the growers and the NRCS EQIP program, we also promote soil moisture monitoring for the growers. For example, with the row crop industry, we'll dictate to the grower where they should place their soil sensors so they know where the water is moving inside the rooting zone of their crop. And then we measure rainfall and soil moisture status over the growing season. Whole purpose of that is to see if we can apply the amount of water more to the crop's ET demand, and how closely can we come to matching crop evapotranspiration rate. So for this example, over rainfall, some years it may be very low, but if crop ET demand is this high and we're over applying our irrigation, we're losing that water, and in the future when we come into times when we need that excess water, the grower is just wasting that. This is a replicated study that was done on about 1.5 acres at the Citrus Center. It's real red grapefruit, and what we did is we took a mature orchard that was primarily flood irrigated for approximately 15 to 17 years. So the trees were well established under flood irrigation, and we converted 2/3 of those trees to drip and microspray jet irrigation, and see how fast they would rebound from that stress, if it is a stress, or the change of irrigation style, and see if the yields would rebound to equivalent of that of flood irrigation. And within 2 years, we had yields in our drip and our sprinkler irrigated plots that exceeded or were equivalent to our flood irrigated crops. Now, this is juice weight of the fruit, and this is fresh weight. The grower gets a lot more money from the fresh weight than they do the juice weight. So, by the grower's point, they may say, well, flood irrigation gives me more money right now because more of your crop is going to the juice market rather than the fresh market. But this varies from year to year, and so we'll be evaluating that at the on-farm level as well. And with these replicated studies, annual water savings over flood irrigation over three separate years with both drip and microspray jet, we save between 18 to 33 inches of water every year, depending on the amount of water we're applying. If you translate that into what the citrus industry is as a whole in the lower Rio Grande Valley, there are about 27,000 acres of citrus in the lower Rio Grande Valley. If you converted all that over to a low flow irrigation system, you could save between 40 and 75,000 acre feet of water every year. And so these are replicated studies at a small scale. Now, for the Texas Water Development Board, they've been funding two-year studies for quite some time. They're called research studies. They have never funded a long-term evaluation at the on-farm level. So this was a strong commitment to put $10 million to evaluate a long-term study at the grower level. Because the growers see our research data and they say, Shad, Dr. Nelson, that's great. But what does that really mean at the farm level? And this is the first year we've had the grower data to support what we see at the research level. So this is the average data from our citrus growers, what they're currently using in without us intervening with their current practices. Traditional flood irrigation used the most water, and about half of that was used by a drip irrigated citrus growers. But interestingly, those that are using narrow border flood irrigation are also saving water. What this really means is for those growers that can't afford to switch over to a drip or a microspray jet irrigation system, they can still use that canal system to their advantage by just changing the way that they manage their orchard a little bit. And on a water saving standpoint, and that's really where the political leaders in Texas want to see, what does this translate to in regards to water savings? This basically means that you're saving about an acre foot to almost 2 acre feet of water, depending on your irrigation system for the citrus industry. Now, I recognize these are all English units that I'm showing you, which is not politically correct here. But the reason for this is because all this information is for the grower, maybe not necessarily primarily targeted to you as an audience. For that, I apologize. But our growers will go back to this information because this is their data. This is what they need to see for future change. Now, ADI project outcomes. Our growers in the lower Rio Grande Valley utilize irrigation practices other than conventional flood, and they're saving water. Alternative flood irrigation practices like narrow border flood can also save water without that expense of going to a drip or a microspray jet irrigation system, which costs about between $1,000 to $1,500 per acre just to get into that. Continued assessment of yield and irrigation use efficiency is needed for collaborators that are using water conserving practices to demonstrate successful and economic stability of these practices for South Texas. And what is the outlook for ADI? The ADI on-farm assessments will continue through the year 2014. The growers involved in the program, just after these 2 years, and they're looking at the soil moisture data, they're beginning to think about changing and now are altering their irrigation management strategies, taking into account that soil moisture data. And they find that quite useful and exciting for their future irrigation needs. Grower involvement, we find, is the key for future change in the valley. They've had researchers, they've had extension agents come to them with data that hasn't led to change. When they speak to each other one-on-one with their own information, that is what's changing today's growers and the future needs of water in Texas. If you'd like to find out more information on this program, you can go to the Harlingen Irrigation District website at www.hidcc1.org. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We would have time for one question.
What are the irrigation practices like across the border on the Mexico side?
Majority of those are still furrow and flood irrigated systems, mainly because they have the water. One of the big reasons we have limited water is because we rely on them releasing water from the Mexican side into the U.S. border side. When water becomes scarce, our problems exacerbate. It is expensive to get into drip systems. More of those growers are now using polypipe, and they're moving into polypipe type situations, but you're still, it's a form of flood irrigation if you think about it.